The classic Survivor seasons like Survivor Africa are available on DVD on Amazon.com. Get all of your favorites and get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's about to find out where is the beef. Rob Cesternino, hello everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Rob Has a Podcast. We are live here on Monday night, August 5th, and we are going to find out tonight what two Survivor, legends are up to. We're going to be talking about some family beef. Joining us on the show tonight, let's start with the man behind the show tonight. Here he is. You know Lex Vandenberg. Lex, how are you?
Hey, what's up, brother? It's good to see you. Thanks for having us.
Good to see you too. And then here are the guys who are behind the beef. Here is Big Tom and Bucky Bo Buchanan.
Hello, everybody. We can't see y'all, but we hear you.
Okay, good. Well, we can see you guys.
We had a plug-in failure.
I could see y'all's ugly faces.
Yes.
No problem.
That's all that matters.
Okay. Yeah. All right, here we go. So we are live here on robhasawebsite.com and on YouTube. So we are going to be talking to Lex and Big Tom, talking about what exactly is family beef, where we can watch it, and all sorts of stuff. We'll take your questions as well here in the chat room on robhasawebsite.com and on our YouTube channel, which you can go to at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. And look at this. Big Tom, did you ever think you'd live to see the day when you'd be on a Google Hangout?
No, I thought I had a horn that you hollered through and a string. I still don't know how to Google or goggle or YouTube either.
Yeah.
I think when Tom hears the word Google, he thinks that's what you do when you grab a jar of moonshine and you start to drink it. You take a Google or two.
Sure.
That's a fact.
All right. Well,
Rob, I've never done any of this. I mean, I'm computer illiterate. This is my first, a cyber or snipe?
Yeah.
Whatever we're doing.
Just as long as you keep your clothes on, then this is all going to be good.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, none of this Anthony Weiner business. Yeah.
That was for sure.
Yeah. All right, so I guess let's start off. Tell us about what is family beef and how did this come to be?
Tom, I'm going to let you take this one. I want to hear what you got to say.
Oh, Lex, I thought that'd be Lex is the big part of why we've had the family beef. We've had the beef up here for 100 years in Rich Valley, but the family beef, Lex had to, him and Kelly had this concept that we should have this film. And so let him tell you how that came about, because we were just up here just happy as clams, farming.
We're just doing like we do every day, except so everybody on the outside can see what it's like in Rich Valley for the Buchanans. And it's a lot of ups and downs. And, well, you'll get to see. We're definitely an interesting bunch.
Well, we decided we wanted to bring, God, perish the word, we want to bring Hollywood to Rich Valley. So, you know, for years and years, my wife Kelly and I have been taking our kids out to visit Tom and his family, because after Survivor Africa and All-Stars, I mean, the Buchanans really became as much kin to us and family to us as our own family. And, you know, that alliance that Tom and I made, God, it must be 12 years ago now, is still holding strong. We still got each other's backs. And the thing is, after Africa, we got super close. We'd come out and visit them on the farm year after year. And, I mean, it became apparent to us that there was something really, really special about Rich Valley, southwestern Virginia, and Valley View Farms and the Buchanan family. I mean, there you've got a situation where you've got amazing, larger-than-life characters. It's not, you know, we've all gotten familiar with Big Tom on Survivor. But the fact of the matter is, there's a whole family of Big Toms out there. You've got his dad, Poppy, who actually turned 80 yesterday. So happy birthday,
happy
Poppy.
Happy birthday, Poppy.
Yep. You've got his son, Bo, who Tom likes to refer as Family Goober. They've all got their better halves. The Buchanan women, twice as smart and twice as good looking as the Buchanan men. And then there's the rest of the cast of characters. They are literally like cartoon characters that just kind of live among us, those of us who are in the real world. But then you combine that, these amazing characters full of heart and humor, and they've got this farm, this 2,000-acre cattle farm in one of the most beautiful parts of the world in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And we're living in an age in this economy where the corporate-owned factory farm is that they rule. And in order to survive, pardon the pun, but in order to survive and have your own family farm in this day and age, it is far, far harder than anything any of us ever did on Survivor. Imagine the worst case, hardest case scenario. These guys are in the thick of it every day. And it became apparent to us that there was a great story there. And a few years ago, after one of our vacations there, my wife Kelly said, you know what, there's something really special here, and this really ought to be on TV. People, we need to share this with everybody. And we partnered up with some friends of ours here in Santa Cruz, Susan, Regan, and Tam with Tough Cubby Entertainment and Tam Communications. We decided to together go out and shoot a sizzle reel to see if we could actually get somebody in Hollywood as excited about this as we were. We went out and we shot some footage. We shopped it for a few months, and lo and behold, National Geographic, we couldn't have wished for a better network to pick us up. They saw the magic that we saw, and now we've got this TV show. We're going to be showing two pilot episodes, the first two episodes day after tomorrow on August 7th at 9 p.m. on Nat Geo. And this is a story of the Buchanan family, their farm, their day-to-day struggles on being able to pay their farm payments, make their bills, make an honest living, somehow have these three alpha males, because between Tom, Poppy, and Bo, you've got three extremely strong-minded men that honestly have a really hard time getting along, but seeing eye to eye and making their minds up about something together. It is great, great TV. And between that and the love, you've got a show that episode after episode, week after week, is going to keep everybody on the edge of their seats.
All right, so if you're checking this out in the archives, the show is on Wednesday night on Nat Geo. Nat Geo regular, right?
Right.
Nat Geo. Although, yes.
They will also be showing, I guess they're, it's going to be on National Geographic TV, and they're also going to be showing, I don't know the date or the time, but they're also going to be showing the show on Nat Geo Wild at a later date, maybe a week later, something like that.
Okay, and what time on Wednesday on Nat Geo?
9 p.m. and 9:30. So there's going to be two episodes back-to-back. Between 9 and 10, you are going to have a full hour of all you can stand of the Buchanans, their farm, and it's going to leave you. You're going to come back for more.
Okay. Tom, what was it like having all of those cameras filming you in your hometown? Did that make you very popular?
Well, the population here is about 25, and I'll be dang if all 25 of them didn't have their neck stuck out like a turkey, looking around every corner and saying, what in the hell's going on up here? And actually, we didn't say much about it because we didn't know we were just going on everyday farm life because, we had cows having calves. We had, we were feeding cattle. We were busy doing farm stuff. And then with these cameras, we was going, these guys,
they're getting in the way.
And so, it was a cluster for a while. And plus everybody was saying, now what's going on? So, but it ended up, it was a lot of fun doing it, but it was so different than what I was used to. And it was a lot harder than Survivor because, it was fighting Bo and Poppy and this woman of mine, Lord, trying to eat her food is been one of the biggest jobs we've had.
Hey, I'm gonna call horseshit right now because your wife Sandy makes the best biscuits and gravy, except for maybe your mama Genevieve. But you've got to stop. You've got to stop talking trash about your wife's cooking because your wife's cooking is top shelf, Tom.
Well, you know, she, when we first got married, she had an epidemic up here. We all got the scares, and the cattle did too. I don't know what in the world she cooked, but it took a long time before. It took a lot of practice. 34 years till we got her trained in for a biscuit.
Really? Big Tom, I didn't notice. Is your wife a good cook or a bad cook?
Careful, Tom.
She's a good woman, and she sashays around the kitchen pretty good, but what comes out is a multiple guess.
Yeah, I've got one of those at home too, Big Tom, so I can relate to that.
I mean, she's a good woman. She can swing a mop, but I'm telling you, she slings. One time I did eat some potpourri and about killed myself. I thought it was some of her stew, so if that tells you something, that was late on a Saturday night, though, but that ought to tell you, whatever's in the pot, I try to eat.
Tom, did anybody in your family end up getting a big head of being on the reality show? You've been through this before. You've done Survivor twice. But for your family members, did anybody sort of start to get an ego about being a reality TV star?
Well, I'd like to say, you know, Bo did because, I mean, he is, you know, I mean, he is strutting around in those cow poop boots of his and think he is somebody. But, you know, in all actuality, we are just getting off the ground and not really, you know, and we don't even know how high we're flying. And so after Wednesday, I think we'll have a better concept of that big head, that kind of thing. Well, but right now,
let's speak some truth here, Tom, today. Because I don't think you're fit to answer that question, frankly. Because
well, I think
when I think Bo play. Knows the answer to this question, right, Bo? Who had the
Bo knows.
Well, everybody knows that we're big egos and big all around, but really, we're just blessed to have this opportunity, and we're trying to make the best of it. But now, anybody that knows my daddy knows that his head swells by looking at him, much less with a camera on him. So,
well, I'll tell you something, Rob. When I went out a few weeks ago with my son just to have a little vacation out on the farm in Rich Valley, I was able to bring the first two episodes, the final cuts. They were, I mean, this, no one had ever seen this. I hadn't even seen the final cut yet, and I brought it so we could watch it with the family. I brought those two DVDs, and we watched it. We had a large time, but if you were to ask Tom, I'd venture to guess, if you asked Tom how many times he actually watched it, he might not actually be completely honest with you because, well, how many times do you think you watched that show, Tom?
I watched it long enough to know that I'm a star. That's what I are. I really, one thing watching yourself, you know, it's hard not to like yourself. I was going, my God, I'm looking good.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I brought those DVDs home and they didn't work anymore because they'd watched until we wore them out.
Yeah. Well, I used to go to Johnny Fairplay's apartment, so I know what that's like to watch somebody watch themselves over and over and over again on TV.
Yeah. I said, well, you know, I can't help it, but I love me. The rest of them guys were in my way. You know, that's kind of the way I felt. Yeah.
But we both were really pleased to have some footage of all three of us together, Poppy being 80, and it was really, really good for us to see him and for people to get an idea of how we were brought up and where our morals come from. And, you know, he's kind of the staple of our family. And so we really were glad to see him on it. And to let everybody get an idea of what we're made of is Poppy through and through.
No, Lex, how does this?
It is, and I have to say, all joking aside, as you know, from my vantage point, which it was great to be behind the camera for once and not be in front. I love being able to just kind of, you know, work as a producer. And I have to say, all of us were amazed, right down to the authentic productions, these big Hollywood producers that came out and made, you know, and did the shooting and the producing. It was amazing to all of us how unaffected all of these folks, the Buchanan family, how unaffected they were by the cameras. We had full crew, 14, 15, 20 people with cameras all around them. And you know what? Not one of them acted like there was a camera around them. And that was amazing because they were, without us having to do any kind of coaching, they were completely natural. And you don't know what you're going to get when you go out and shoot this kind of a production. And God knows, Nat Geo, they bankrolled us. They put a lot of money behind this project. And you're going to see that on Wednesday night because it is a beautiful looking show. So it's obviously there's a lot of money in it. But you don't know when you invest if the people, the first time you bring out all these cameras, if they're going to actually, you know, really deliver and they're going to be natural, because this is nothing scripted. Nothing is preset. We're just basically setting up cameras and hoping that magic happens and that they act natural and it doesn't look like a bunch of people trying to, you know, kind of be funny for the camera. And the Buchanans were, and their neighbors, the rest of their family were, it's amazing how natural they were and unaffected they were by the cameras.
So how does this show compare to a show like Duck Dynasty? Is it similar in tone to a show like that?
I mean, I'd say it's similar in that it's we're capturing, you know, just a slice of life in that part of the country. I think that you know, and we often found ourselves kind of sometimes, you know, comparing what was going on and the feel of it to Duck Dynasty. I think what's different about Family Beef and Duck Dynasty is that really Duck Dynasty is really, it's a they capture, you know, this family and kind of the daily conversations and the vibe and whatnot. But what this show has that I think Duck Dynasty doesn't have is every episode is a complete story. I mean, you've got a complete story arc. There's a beginning, a middle, end. There are high stakes. Every episode has some kind of a high stakes, almost life or death sort of story that happens where, you know, you're on the edge of your seat. There is something, there's a complete plot and storyline happening, and you just can't wait to see how it all ends up. Rather than just feeling like you're kind of a fly on the wall and you're just privy to, you know, just hanging out with the guys. Duck Dynasty is more about, you know, you're hanging with those guys, you're seeing what's going on. This is really, it's an episodic in that every episode is a complete story with, you know, drama, tension, and, you know, a happy or sad ending.
Now,
Rob.
Yeah.
Rob, I don't know if you remember, but I was on Survivor 10 years ago. So I was way ahead of Duck Dynasty, and you'll see, old Big Tom. I mean, you know, we had our own life going on way before any of those shows going on. So, you know, I've not seen that, the Duck Dynasty, to compare, but just a little clip or something. But I'm saying, you know, what we were, we've been a farm a long time, and what you see is what you get right from the get-go, and it's been there a long time.
Now,
and that's really what we set out to do. We wanted, you know, we didn't want to mess with the formula was perfect as it was. The experience that my wife Kelly and I and my family had visiting and getting into the Buchanans, we just wanted people to be able to experience and see that, and without messing with it, without trying to make it anything that it wasn't. I mean, really, like Tom says, what you see is what you get. This is what the Buchanan family have been doing for generations, and it's the life that, you know, hopefully they're going to be doing for generations to come.
Now, last year there was a show with another Survivor family. There was the Flipped Off, starring the Hance family of Russell in his line of work, flipping houses. How will Family Beef compared to Flipped Off?
I've never seen Flipped Off, so I mean I don't know. I mean, if what I've seen of the Hance family on Survivor is any indication of what Flipped Off is like, then I'll tell you that this is going to be nothing like it.
Well, yeah.
Rob, I flipped it off.
There you go.
I mean, literally, I didn't see it because I seen that other Hance boy and I immediately flipped it off.
I mean, and again, you know, I don't know what the Hance family was doing before Survivor, but – my guess is that that he wasn't a house flipper, that that's not what he did for a living. I mean, I don't know what he did because he claimed to be an oil tycoon, but then we weren't sure about that. But the point is here, you know, it really is, this show is just, it's an honest show about a family that has an old school, old fashioned American way of life. There's nothing to put on here. And what we've captured in this show is what they've been doing for decades. There's nothing different. This is what Tom and Bo and Poppy were doing way before Survivor. You know, a lot of us, we did Survivor and, you know, we went back to the lives we had. They were perfectly happy and loved the lives that they had before Tom did Survivor. And that's what this show is about. It's what they've been doing forever, and they're still doing it, and it's a beautiful thing.
All right, we've got some questions coming in from our audience here that's watching us live. Susan O'Connor Frazier, she wants to know, Bo, what's it like to work every day with your dad and your grandpa? Is there a lot of pressure there to go to work and work with the two people that you grew up with?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, most people go to work and then they come home and you got your work and you got your family separate, you know. Well, mine, it's all together, just like a big cocktail that from a young boy. I've had, you know, responsibilities on the farm to do this and that, and I think being raised that way has made me the man I am as far as as that's concerned. But yeah, there's always pressure when you're making big time decisions and you're a third of that decision. You don't want to be the link that breaks the chain, because this chain's been strong long before me.
So what's
and
it like?
I don't want to be that weak link. So there's pressure, but we usually do a lot better under pressure.
So what's it like to have your dad as your boss?
Well, that can be debatable. Sometimes he does a lot of bossing, but nobody listens. But yeah, I guess I would say Poppy's the CEO. I'd make Tom the treasurer.
I'd make Sandy the treasurer.
Yeah, well, because you know, if the finance end of it between me and Tom and Raymond and Poppy, us three together couldn't get all these bills put together right. So my mother definitely is instrumental in getting that taken care of, because without her, I know we'd be in a handbasket a long time ago.
Yeah. Susan also wants to know, Lex, what needs to happen for this pilot to go for a series? What could people do who are want to watch the show this week?
So that's a great question. So what we really, you know, what we would really love to see, the obvious is tune in on August 7th on Wednesday, watch it, tell all your friends about it. We've been pretty busy with just trying to kind of really create a buzz and spread the word over social media. There's a few places that everybody ought to really go. We've got a Facebook page, so it's just facebook.com/familybeef. Go up on our page, like the page. There are also Nat Geo, National Geographic TV. If you just Google Nat Geo TV, you'll notice if you search on inside of Nat Geo, you do search for Family Beef, you'll find that we have pages on the Nat Geo website. And those pages, each one is dedicated to the first two episodes. They've got Facebook like buttons as well. There are videos and previews that you can watch there. So I think there's a good 6 or 7 previews. If you guys want to get a flavor of what the show's all about ahead of time, go up on Nat Geo on the website, check out the episode pages, hit the like buttons for the Facebook like buttons, tweet about it, just share it with your friends, spread the word. You know, I mean, Rob, you know how it goes. In the world of TV, Nielsen is king. So the Nielsen ratings, the way those work is you've got about 25,000 households in the U.S. that, you know, are all basically watching TV, and whatever they watch is kind of what the networks decide is flavor of the day. And that's what's working. So we're trying as much as possible to get as many people to spread the word so that we can somehow get these Nielsen households to watch. I mean, I truly believe, having watched this, not just because, you know, I'm a co-creator and an executive producer, but I really believe there's a quality TV show here. I think anybody that watches it is going to love it. So just have everybody tell your friends, watch it on Wednesday, go up on social media, tweet about it, like our Facebook page. You're going to dig it. It's just a good show.
Lex, what did you learn from Mark Burnett to create your own reality show?
Wow, that's a loaded question, Rob. Wow. I guess if I had to say I learned one thing from him is, you know, whatever you want to do, you do it. I do what I want to do. I don't do it for anyone else. Tom and Bo are the same way. You know, if you've got if there's something you believe in, you've got a dream, you should chase it, grab it by the balls, and go for it. But honestly, I'll tell you what, Tom and I, and you know, I'm probably speaking out of school here, and this is probably, I mean, if I had aspirations to have some kind of a Hollywood career, this would be a career limiting statement. But to be totally honest with you, I think that making this show was, for Tom and I, was a great opportunity for us to flip the bird at everybody. You know, maybe in SEG, Mark Burnett Productions, CBS, because you know what, honestly, they all had, and people like us, they had golden opportunities to make great TV after Survivor. All of us have, we've got minds, we've got ideas, we've got creativity, but you know, I think that they've got a kind of a short-term view at all of us. They see us as, well, we're a commodity. We're going to put these guys on a season of Survivor, and when we're done, we've got another 16 chumps that are happy to sign up and do it all over again. And there'll be, where there's 16 more chumps, there'll be 60,000, 600,000 more that are lining up. But there are people that have great ideas, and, you know, we're here to show them that without anybody's help, and granted, I mean, we definitely did get a nice little kind of step up in the fact that we got to do Survivor in the first place. And that did give us the opportunity to have some sort of a platform to speak from, and it made it easier probably for us to actually get this thing off the ground. But when all said and done, Tom, Bo, Poppy, me, you know, all of the guys at Authentic Entertainment, Tough Cubby, Tam Communications, we all worked, we rolled our sleeves up, we worked hard, we made a great show. And that's because we decided to do it. It's not because anybody really helped us to do it.
There you go, Tom.
Hey, I'm saying it. But what a great opportunity this was for our family and everybody. You know, just to jump in here and have that. But it's hard to wipe a smile off of face. You know, this is kind of a dream. I never even thought about it. You know, it's just everyday life. And then now it's come Wednesday, it's come to life. So I've got a pretty big smile on my face there. And I'm hoping that people will like it. But, you know, it's like I was the only one that would marry Sandy. So, everybody's got their own choices. So whatever happens, happens. But we appreciate everybody, especially our Survivor friends or whoever that jumped in here and helped us. I know that I've heard from more Survivors in the last week than I have in the last year. So just saying, you know, go for it, old man, and be watching. And from California to everywhere. And so it's been really, really good to hear from all the old friends.
Yeah. And I mean, we've had so much help from, that's the thing that Rob, we're lucky enough that we did this. We had this whole Survivor experience, and the experience itself was brilliant, but the relationships and the friendships that we forged and built from that experience, I mean, a lot of those have lasted a lifetime. You know, you and I have known each other now for quite a while. There have been a lot of people like you, Rob, and other folks that have helped Tom and I out now that, you know, we had this opportunity and we needed, you know, the troops out there to really kind of rally and help us out. And, you know, there have been people like, you know, you, Tanya, Ethan, Evil Dick from Big Brother, because, you know, a lot of we all run in, you know, our circles all kind of intersect. And there have been so many people that have been helpful. Johnny Fairplay has always been there for us and has always helped us out as well. And that's, you know, when all is said and done, I mean, we're thick as thieves, and we run. We're like herd animals. We run together in the same herd.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for me personally, anything I could do to help out any of the other survivors that are doing a project, or Big Brother people as well that I've met over the years, you know, anything I can do to help out anybody else who's in our same boat with anything that they're doing. I mean, if you know, why not? I mean, we're all sort of in the same situation, so always happy to hear what people are doing in this space. And like myself, somebody who's trying to, you know, do creative things, you know, and I have a platform to help people, I'm very happy to do it. Here's a question from Fuggy Bootenling. He is a longtime Survivor fan, and he wants to know, he says, Lex, Tom, and Ethan, greatest alliance of all time, in my opinion. Why do you think this friendship has stuck together so closely through so many years? I mean, there's been a lot of Survivor alliances. A lot of people make friends on Survivor, but not too many people stay that close through, you know, a year, 5 years, 10 years. How come you guys have remained so close?
I mean, I think it's really simple. I love these guys. They're like brothers to me. And when we were out there in those extreme circumstances, you know, I think the three of us magnetically just kind of zeroed in on each other, and we had fundamental things in common. We're just, you know, we're all of us are human beings. And when I met Tom, even though, you know, I looked at him and I saw, you know, a fat redneck, and I know he looked at me and he said, well, there's, you know, a tattooed freak is probably queer, right, Tom?
My very words, I think.
Yeah, and we looked at Ethan. Oh, I said, boy. Well, there's a golden boy. That's a beautiful boy that, you know, well, he's the guy that, you know, in high school probably would have kicked my ass because I wasn't cool enough. I mean, but all that stuff on the surface really mattered nothing at all. Ultimately, we made a connection, and, you know, it's just there's nothing, it's not rocket science. We just got to be good friends right off the get-go, and we've stayed friends ever since. I talk to Tom and Ethan on a weekly basis. I love them like my family, and I mean, there's really nothing more to it than that. We have each other's backs, and what else do you need?
We've honestly had an alliance. We still have an alliance, three guys do all the way through. So, you know, with Ethan, he's had some hardships, and you know, all of us have stuck together, but our alliance has lasted, 12 years now. And it's money isn't everything, guys.
That's the thing. I mean, I think all of us would agree that when you know, and it sounds so cliched, but after Survivor Africa was over, you know, Ethan won $1 million. Tom and I were happy to see him win the $1 million, but the one thing that all three of us took away from that experience, as cliched as it sounds, that was the best thing of all, was the relationship that we made. And that, you know, I could tell you right now, I could burn through $1 million in no time flat. It wouldn't take me very long. If I really tried to spend it, I could spend it quick. But something that's going to be around forever, and, you know, right up until the day that I take that dirt nap, is going to be the friendship and the relationship that I have with Tom and Ethan. That's forever. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, that's, that right there is the biggest prize that we got out of that whole experience.
Tom, will any other survivors be making cameos out here on Family Beef? Is there a chance that you might have Sue Hawk come and visit?
Chance in hell. but honestly, you know, if this thing gets, as it grows, we plan to, you know, kind of down the road, have some friends from Survivor, and maybe an enemy or two, and we'll see how they walk the walk and talk the talk. You know, it's a little bit different when you got your boots about ankle deep in cow manure. It got a different twist than the concrete, and I think people will see how they may understand how I, you know, played Survivor a little bit more by watching this, with our handshake on a 50,000 50,000 pounds of cattle, and we make a phone call or a handshake deal, and it locks it in. And I think that people seeing some of the stuff that we do financially and every day, our words are bond, and you know they'll see why it was hard for me on Survivor to play a dirty little game.
Now, speaking of Survivor, are you guys still keeping up with Survivor? Have you guys been watching this last season of the show?
Yes, I do. I keep up with Survivor. I try to watch it. You know, every chance I get, I try to watch it.
So, Tom, what did you think of this past season with Cochran being the winner?
Well, you know what? That little bony Cochran, I kind of got to like that guy, and I was pulling for him. He is as smart as I am dumb, and it just made me so happy that little boneyard ape, he was the bony that I was afraid he'd blow off into the ocean and be a shark bait, but he really hung in there, and I'm glad for one. He's forgot more than I'll ever know about Survivor. I cannot believe a guy knows so much about the game, and I really was rooting for him. So yeah, hats off, Cocker.
You know, you bring up a good point about handshake deals and what that means on Survivor. And so the big point, the flashpoint on this season that everybody was all hot and bothered about was this deal that was sort of made with Dawn and Brenda. And when Dawn lost her retainer in the lake, and then Brenda went and dove and got it out. And then she said, I'm never going to vote you out, I promise. And then we had this whole kerfuffle that happened where then Dawn stabbed Brenda in the back. And then Brenda said, I want you to take your teeth out at the final tribal council. So what was your take on all that?
I really liked it because, that's a good old woman there to take her teeth out. And I had a grandma that coughed and lost her teeth. And we, as a boy, we'd pick it up and stuff. But women, I mean, that is a huge thing. I'm married to one now that can't even, that hides and brushes her little partial or something. And I sneak around and catch her and shoot. Won't even take them out for Halloween. I just raise hell. But I thought that was so good. But, when we were on Survivor, that's been years ago, you've got to be a dirty little mean guy now to win it. And, a lot of things have changed. You've got to tell a lie 14 foot long and be green. And I love that with women and the way it happened and stuff. I mean, that's why Survivor is still clicking along, because that's the way it is now. And if just like a guy like me who's just a handshake deal, listen, that day is gone. I mean, Survivor is a game that the handshake deal was old school. There's a new kid in town now, and it's Cochran.
Here's a question that's really for both of you guys. This is Rushmore wants to know, would Big Tom go back on Survivor? And Lance Halsey wants to know, if Mark Burnett called, would Lex do Survivor with Rob again? I'm not sure if he's talking about me or Boston Rob, but I guess the question for both of you guys, would either of you go and play Survivor again?
Well, Lex, I'll say I definitely would, and because I'm 58 now, I'm not that old man you think I am, but I was on that show with you, Rob.
Yeah, and I remember,
and we were great friends.
Yeah,
and
well, not good enough for you to not vote me out, Tom.
I thought we were better friends than that.
Where was that handshake deal that day?
I was so afraid that it was going to be me that I didn't know what to do.
Okay.
but anyway, I would love to have another crack at it because when I went on the first African one, I never watched the show. So I didn't know. I was out there going, who, what, where, or when. And then now I'm a little more savvy. I can even spell Survivor now, and it's after 12 years. So I would like to have another
shot. He's been practicing.
Good.
Practicing spelling it.
There's always I don't know, but especially – if it gets to the end, I thought that might bring it'd be nice for the old man to go out there and get another one more shot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would or not. I mean, never say never. Who knows if the timing and the circumstances were right, perhaps. But to be totally honest, I love my life the way it is right now, and I don't know if I would want to completely re-up and reset it. I think that we had something really special back in the old days, Survivor Africa. I mean, it's like your first girl. It's never the same. The second time, third time, fourth time, you try to get that first, reproduce that first kind of excitement. I don't think, and we learned that, and Rob, you probably remember the same thing going on All Stars. It wasn't quite the same as the first time you did it.
No, it definitely wasn't.
It definitely wasn't, and honestly, I have such great memories, and that experience in Africa was so special. If I went back to do it again, it would be without any intention to try to reproduce the first experience. It would be something completely different. But honestly, at this point, if I got the call, I mean, and Tom and I, we actually both got the call for this last season to do the Survivor. What is it? Blood versus Water.
Really.
Yeah, and both of us turned him down.
Wait, you said no?
I said no.
Is this a first that survivors say no to go back on Survivor?
I don't know if it's the first, but I'm sure that it's probably good for CBS and Mark Burnett every once in a while to hear somebody say no.
Oh my God!
I think seriously, it's probably good for them to realize that that sometimes their shit does stink a little bit and. I don't know if I will do it again. Who knows?
So
at this point now, I love my life the way it is. I think I'm going to stick with it the way it is and do new things rather than try to do something again.
And Tom, you didn't want to go back with Bucky Bo?
You know what? I really did.
I wouldn't let him.
Lex, you talked him out of it?
No, I didn't talk him out of it, but we were in the middle of Family Beef production.
Yeah, we were knee deep in Family Beef, and I couldn't believe after all these years I get the call, and I was going, "Oh Lordy!" I said, "What's happened here?" I thought it was a joke because we were just like knee deep in this show, and it just was no way we could do it, and it all happened. Within a week or maybe two that it was, we were filming and, we got the call to go and, just couldn't work it out, Rob, at that, and, Bo was all pumped up and squealing and screaming and, making fire up here on the farm. it was hell. So,
well, he makes fire every time he lays down with his old lady in the bedroom. He knows all about making fire, but. At the end of the day, Rob, it's like, do you want to go on a show where you gotta maybe you might get 1/16th or 1/18th worth of coverage on the show that you got to share with the hands?
No, you could have.
Do you want to have your own show?
But you could have had 2/18ths.
Well, still not a very good bargain.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, better than usual. all right, this is from Narborg. He wants to know, Are there any good stories from the Ponderosa on Africa or All-Stars? Now, I know you guys weren't there in the Ponderosa for too long on the Africa, not really that long on the All-Stars, but any good Ponderosa stories from outside of the game?
No, oh God, there's a lot that I don't think I'd necessarily want to share.
Whoa.
Because I, you know, that would be telling. I'm trying to think of some that I could actually tell.
Yeah.
Because God knows, I mean, you know, there's lots of stories. There's good stories from the Ponderosa. Ponderosa's where the shit happens.
Yeah. I have some good stories. I was at the Ponderosa for one day on Survivor the Amazon, and I probably have 10 times more good Ponderosa stories from that season than I did from the 35 days or whatever, however long I was in Ponderosa on All-Stars with Rudy and Tina and Richard for a day or two. I might have a couple of good stories.
Well, can you share a good Amazon Ponderosa story? Now I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
You know what? Those are the kinds of stories that Mrs. Cesternino doesn't like us to talk about.
I hear you loud and clear. I'll tell you one thing that amazed me when I was out, when we were in All Stars and we were on the out in the Ponderosa, which was essentially just like a little tiny rock.
Yeah.
It was an island that was, I mean, you could walk around the circumference of that island completely in about 3 minutes. It was so small.
Yeah.
It was like a rock with about 10 huts and in the middle of flipping nowhere. And still there were people that are super fans of the show that somehow figured out not only where we were shooting, but figured out exactly where the Ponderosa was. And they used to have security people that would kind of walk the circumference of this island because these super fans would be coming upon the island in kayaks with cameras. Mm-hmm. They would actually come from like Panama and other parts of the Pearl Islands in kayaks to try to get pictures of the people that had gotten booted out.
Yeah. No, they would bring us around like hostages, right? That they would, like, you go into tribal council, they put, like, you know, bags over your head so they couldn't see who was going into the tribal council.
Exactly. They had, there must have been a big sale on, that was right about the time that that horror movie Scream came out. And there must have been, like, a huge sale on those, like, black, you know, big hooded cloak things, because all of us had to get dressed up in those things every time we went to tribal council. I was surprised they didn't have us wear the flipping Scream mask as well so that people couldn't see our faces. But we couldn't go to tribal council without being completely hooded, covered, and hidden because there were so many people that they thought might get. And that was also the time they actually had, all of us had to have our torches snuffed out on camera before the game even began. You remember that?
A little bit.
when we first went out to the Pearl Islands, it was like that whole week where they had like People Magazine and everybody, they'd come out, they'd interview them. So it was like a whole week of just like press junkets. And during that week, they actually took us to the tribal council area, that treehouse that they built. And they had us systematically one by one go in front of Probst with our torch, and he'd say, "Tribe has spoken." And he would snuff out the torch, and there was a camera crew, and they would shoot it so that basically if word got out on, you know, on the interwebs, you know, if somebody spilt a spoiler ahead of time, that they could always throw out a little, you know, something to trick them with a little video of someone's torch getting snuffed out. All 18 of us had our torches snuffed out before the game even started. I'm probably not even supposed to talk about that, but I don't care.
I think the statute of limitations is over on that. I think we're closing in on 10 years. I think
right?
You're good. And thank God that they did that because there were no spoilers whatsoever on Survivor All-Stars. So that was it. Looked like the system worked perfectly. So let's see. One or two more questions. Susan O'Connor Frazier wants to know, how many of your viewers are going to join us on the Family Beef Twitter party?
I'll be there.
Yeah, a lot of people, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Are you going to be, Big Tom, are you going to be live tweeting the show on Wednesday?
He's going to try. I'm honestly, I've got some help. But I don't know if I can tweet or do whatever I'm supposed to do. But with I've got an assistant here that's going to help me. So I'm having some problems with this technology.
Rob, are you going to be on that party with us?
You know, this is, I feel like this is the first I'm hearing about it. What, so what it's, is there a East Coast and West Coast, airing of the Family Beef?
You better believe it, because we believe that our East Coast brothers are just as important as our Left Coast brothers. So we're going to have a Twitter party, at, I guess that would be what, 6 o'clock my time, Pacific time. So 9 PM Eastern and 9 PM Pacific time.
Okay,
we're
going to
be doing two of them.
Maybe I can catch you guys on the West Coast. East Coast, I'm going to be driving home from work, so I'm not allowed to tweet and drive anymore. But I will see on the West Coast version. So the show is Family Beef. You want to check it out on Wednesday night on Nat Geo Regular, the Nat Geo Classic, and there you have it. To watch two episodes this Wednesday night, it's going to be good.
That's right.
Hey, Rob, I certainly thank you for having us on, and I hope you I want your feedback on what do you think of Family Beef, and when that little baby's born, we will make him a little Buchanan. We'll start him out a little cow herd of his own. So I will give you the firstborn calf. How's that?
Well, what do I do with it?
Well, we got a little goat. We just—it's like a dog. You can just kind of train it, a yard train it.
I don't think I can have that in my apartment.
Oh yeah. Well, it'd be
that gives you a good reason to go out and visit the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tom, that Nicole and I are expecting a baby. Not a survivor baby, like you once said that Rob and Amber were going to, you predicted that Rob and Amber were going to make a survivor baby all the way back in 2003, and they've actually had three survivor babies since then, so your predictions have come true. So, Big Tom.
Yeah.
So what?
The crystal ball.
Now, I know you've probably named a lot of cows in your day. I wanted to give you an opportunity to give Nicole and I some baby names for the baby Sesternino coming in September.
Crowbar.
That's what you said. That's what you said for Rob and Amber's baby.
Well, if it's a boy, name it Crowbar. And or Elrod, one of the two for a boy.
And what about for a girl?
And if it's a girl, I've always liked Lulu.
Lulu.
Yeah.
Then these are people names?
Well, yeah, actually, let's be honest. Elrod, you named a cow Elrod a few months ago, so I know about that. I've met Elrod.
After Matt Elrod, the Survivor player?
You know what? I had Bucky Bo Buchanan is Bo's name, so I'm not the best in names, so I'm not the guy you should have been asking.
Have you ever named any cows after survivors?
Yes, we actually, after I got back from Survivor, we had a whole herd of cattle with the same names. We had Lex, Ethan. We had the whole gang up here, and actually, up until just years, a few years, that they've passed away, or traded.
Well, it was unfortunate. The Boston Rob, he bit the dust pretty quick.
Oh no! Oh no!
Yeah, he caught a disease. It was a venereal disease.
Oh no!
And unfortunately, we had to put him down.
With impunity.
Poor Boston Rob. Oh no! Was there a Kim Johnson cow?
Oh yes. We had an older animal that we called Kim Johnson that had a little. She was limping a little bit, but everybody had a name on the farm. But it really, people would come and go. Oh my gosh, I can't believe they would be a lot of fans come by and see each cow and or whatever I had them named. So the survivor tree. didn't live on, but it did for several years. So we had a lot of fun with it.
How about a cow named Cochran? Would you ever name a cow after Cochran?
No, we've got better stock than Cochran. Bony cows don't make a lot of money.
I think a goat, maybe a goat, Tom. What about a goat?
Yeah, we may get Cochran on a goat, but right now he's not good for the herd, to be honest with you, as far as cattle. But I'll tell you what, I may hire him as a secretary to keep up with my books, because watching him just made me realize how smart he is. And I'm a Cochran fan. I've got to get him up to the farm. He's too bony to shovel poop, but I'm gonna get him an inside job.
And how about a cow named the Specialist?
Oh, oh, that was good, Rob. Yeah, I think I've got that honed in there. But we've got a pet goat, a goat that Bo's little 2-year-old girl's been raising on a bottle named Pee Wee. So you'll have to. A little later on, you had to check him out. He's been a lot of people. We've got people from all around come and feed Pee Wee, so he's getting pretty heavy. So we got to slow him down. Between him and Sandy, we got to slow him down just a little bit.
All right, so there you have it. Family Beef this Wednesday night on Nat Geo. Check it out. Use the hashtag #FamilyBeef. If you want to tweet about it. And Lex, how do we get to the Family Beef Facebook page?
Family Beef facebook.com/FamilyBeef. And check us out on the National Geographic TV page. Rob, thank you so much for having us. So appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Much love to you and your beautiful wife. And congratulations again on your baby. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to see your baby.
Oh, well, it's going to be exciting. And we've got some,
you know,
some
what you're
name.
Having yet?
We may or may not know that we have not divulged that information. So if you want to follow Lex on Twitter, he's at Lex Vandenberg. And Big Tom is now on Twitter at Big Tom Buchanan. Is that right?
Oh, well,
we ain't sure.
We're not sure about that. I've not found that page yet, but I'm still searching.
All right. So check it out. That is Family Beef this Wednesday. I will be back on Thursday with a all new live Big Brother recap after the double eviction. And no Ian Terry this week. We'll be back with Eric Stein, America's Player, will join us in his place. So plenty to do to talk about the Big Brother. In the meantime, you know, say hello to me on Twitter as well. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Check out Family Beef on Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.